Hello. So I'm just finishing a suva. One moment. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing? All right. I'm still waking up, which you'll be encouraged to know. So this might make sense. Let's just start off by praying. Just want to spend a bit of time just praying. Just giving this time to God. Thank you that you're here, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would simply meet with us. You would simply meet with us. That we'd hear what you've got to say. Please guide my words, Father. Guide our hearts, Lord. Jesus, I know that you just go around and you do your work. You're the one that builds the church. You're the one that does it. Holy Spirit, you're the one that convicts. You're the one that counsels. You're the one that does all of it, God. So we invite you to do right now, Father. Lord, we don't want just the same as normal. We're not here for that. We're not here just to hear a little message and go home and have things the same. I pray that there'll be real change, Father. That chains will be broken, Lord. Yeah, that you give people new dreams, Lord. That's what I pray. You stir new dreams in people's hearts, in our hearts, Lord. Stir new vision in our hearts. Restore that passion, Lord, to some of us, where it's dying out. Open our eyes to who you are again, Lord Jesus. Thank you that I'm nothing without you, Lord. But I'm not without you. Yeah. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to do something maybe a little bit strange. But I really felt God say to do it this morning. And that is, I'm going to let my hair down. So, don't laugh too much. No, Josh is more in this. But you got to do what he says, haven't you? Even if you look like a fool. So.
Now look your hair back and forth.
Yeah. So I'm preaching with my hair down.
The roaring lion.
Now, even if you not think it's funny, I know that the Lord is rejoicing, and I will become more undignified.
Come on,
man.
Just go like that.
It's all a bit of a mess. There we go. Wow. Proper lion. You're going to get it today. Just thinking what during the worship, just that little phrase said, the end is written. The end is written. It just caught me for a moment. And God's been speaking to me a little bit about Psalm 139 to me personally recently. And there's a part in there which talks about how every day of my life was written before one of them came to be. And I find that just so amazing. Every single day of our life has been written down before one has even passed, before we were even a thought in our parents' mind, or even a possibility, every single day. And the just picture that I had was, we've got our books all written out, and at some point in each of our journey, it suddenly got stained with red. It suddenly got filled with the blood of Jesus, covered by the blood of Jesus. At some point in my story, it started to be written in red letters rather than the normal black letters. And how cool is that? I think about Joseph in the Old Testament. And time after time, we see that it says, and God was with him. Time after time, it says, and God was with him. He was with him in Potiphar's house when he was a slave. He was with him when he was in the prison. He was with him when he suddenly became ruler. And I can see in my life, and I hope you can see in your life, that in that book, after each sentence, it says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Over and over again, I'm with you. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Over and over again. After every single sentence, after every single word, I am with you. Today I'm going to share a bit about Emmanuel, God being with us, which is absolutely amazing. God is with us, and he literally became a man. God literally became a man and dwelt with us for 33 years. People say, well, if God's real, why wouldn't he just come? Well, yeah, he did. He did. Read your history books. I'm going to start off with saying that probably doesn't seem that relevant, but Isaiah 8, verse 11 to 17. So we can go there. Call your Bibles. And I think it's on the screen. Everyone there?
Yep.
You're getting that shit. You got it, mate. Don't worry. I believe in you. Nice. Here we go. The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does. He said, don't call everything a conspiracy like they do, and don't live in dread of what frightens them. Make the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. He is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you safe. But to Israel and Judah, he will be a stone that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many will stumble and fall, never to rise again. They will be snared and captured. Preserve the teaching of God. Entrust his instruction to those who follow me. I will wait for the Lord, who has turned away from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my hope in him. First off, I just feel really God pressing on my heart just to cry out to all of us. Let's return to the Lord. Let's return our hearts fully to the Lord, devoted to the Lord, fully to the Lord. Don't think like everyone else does. Don't get caught in the world's views, the world's conspiracies. Like it says there, don't call everything a conspiracy like they do. There's wave after wave of different conspiracies, different ideas, different ideologies that come and they go. They don't stand up because there's no foundation to them. That people get swept away with them. Don't get swept away with it. Celebrities come and go. Doesn't matter. It's not important. TV shows come and go. Don't worry. It's not important. Fashions come and go. Doesn't matter. It's not important. So many things, like politically. What's going on now? In 100 years, are we even going to remember what's going on now? Oh, no, I won't. It's not actually that important. Yes, I agree that there is important parts of it, but let's get perspective. Let's get perspective. It might have complete importance on this level compared to everything else on the world, but when you compare it to heaven, it has got no value whatsoever. The reason why I think that's so relevant to start off with is because we get to now just share in the story of the gospel, of God's and his mysterious plan, his plan from the beginning, the mystery of his plan right from the beginning. We get to share in that right now and remember what actually is important. What was God's plan from the beginning? What was his mystery from the beginning? The thing that was revealed 2,000 years ago. And we're going to go to Isaiah 7, so you shouldn't have to turn the page. Verse 10 to 16. Later, the Lord sent this message to King Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz. Make it as difficult as you want, as high as the heaven, or as deep as the place of the dead. But the king refused. No, he said, I will not test the Lord like that. Then Isaiah said, listen. Listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? All right then. The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. And we'll call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. By the time this child is old enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong, he'll be eating yogurt and honey. For before the child is that old, the lands of the two kings you fear so much will be deserted. First off, I really like that God gives, what's his name? Ahaz, this open invitation. He's like, put me to the test. And he's not like, oh, put me to the test, you know, just a small thing though, just, you know, like, don't make it too challenging. We don't want to cause any disruptions, like, on earth. I've got to keep everything going, so, like, nothing too wild. God invites this king to say, as much as you can imagine, put me to the test. Think of the craziest thing you can and put me to the test. As high as the heavens, or even as deep as the place of the dead. He could have said, right, Lord, raise everybody that has ever died back to life. Call that would have been a good one. God, open that invitation to him. Or he could have said, Lord, I want all of the stars to get wiped out and replaced with new ones that spell my name. That would be cool. I think I'll do that one. Like, this guy got an open invitation for something crazy. God is literally saying, let your imagination run wild and put me to the test. He refused to do it. He refused to do it because he didn't want the responsibility of having to be obedient to God afterwards. But then God decided, right, okay, as you're not going to do something that's beyond your imagination, I'm going to do the craziest thing. I'm going to do the wildest thing. I'm going to become a human. I'm going to become a baby. I'll become a man. While we think of crazy ideas, and maybe the biggest thing I can imagine would be to replace all the stars, God's like, that's nothing. That's nothing. Me, my infinite power, my omniscience, my omnipotence, every omni there is, all of my glory, I'm going to be crushed down into a baby. Somehow. It's like trying to get the sun and squeeze it down into like a candle. It's not possible. And even that does not describe it. Let's regain the wonder of what God has done. It's not just passed by, oh yeah, God came, yeah, he was a man. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what power was going on there? Do you know you see in those films when those nuclear reactors are starting to get unstable and they're like about to go off, they're like, run! They all run through the area because it's just going to go, it's going to blow. You sort of think, God's going into a baby. Something's going to blow. Like, clear the area. Like, seriously. God, in all his glory, the one in whom it says that he stands in unapproachable light. We literally cannot move closer to him. He is that glorious. the one in whom all the angels bow down day and night crying holy, holy, because they cannot do anything else. They're stuck in that place because of his glory, because the weight of his glory is so great, and yet he became a baby. Vulnerable. Imagine that. Just imagine a baby. Now, maybe this is a horrific thought, but if I'm holding a baby, I could drop it. God became that vulnerable. He put himself in a young girl's hands. He became that vulnerable. Let's get back to that wonder, that mystery. This is mad. This is crazy. It's not normal. It doesn't happen every day. It only happened once. And it was God's mysterious plan right from the beginning. There's an amazing song called Mary, Did You Know? I love it. If you've heard it, then you'll know what I'm about.
Yeah.
But there's a line in it that says, it says, Mary, did you know that when you kiss your baby's face, you kiss the face of God? It's like flipping it. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? But like, just get that mystery into your head. Like, when I picture these things, I can't comprehend it. The fact that you get these three wise men coming, like they would have been wealthy. Like, they were not just ordinary guys, they were top people. Like, seriously. Like, imagine the top politicians here or whatever, the rulers, like the queen and all of that. And you've got your little baby, you're just a servant girl. Like, you've got your little baby, and they turn up. And they're like they start bowing. They're like, we're bowing to, like, we worship this baby. You're going to be like, what on earth is going on here? Like, if the queen came and like starts bowing before your baby, you're going to be like, what the heck is going on? Like, this is the mystery of the gospel. And this is where it starts. That God literally became a man. He became a baby. Let that sink in a bit. Let that sink in a bit. God became a baby. God became a baby. The one who spoke and all the stars flew out of his mouth when he said one word, let there be light. Just said that. And this one became a baby. Dangerous when you start screaming. What's that going to do? It's going to cause some earthquakes, surely. Mama, I want my milk. All right, you can have it. Another thing I see is that this last line again, for us to get perspective, in this passage, he's talking to King Ahaz. And right now there's two kingdoms that he's so afraid of. He's terrified of. They're overwhelming him with fear. Utterly terrified of them. But what does God say to him? For before the child is that old, the lands of the two kings you fear so much will both be deserted. What's he saying? It's all going to be irrelevant. These big things that you're so afraid of right now, it's all going to be irrelevant. They're both going to be deserted by the time I do what I'm doing. Get involved with what I'm doing. The things that you're so afraid of right now, that job situation, whatever it is, it's all going to be irrelevant. I don't want to diminish what you're going through. I really don't. It's not what I'm doing. But I'm crying out for some perspective. That God has got his plan and he will fulfill his plan. There's something much bigger going on. Something much bigger going on, and God's definitely not finished. For 33 years, the throne at the right hand of the Father was empty. For 33 years, that throne was an empty throne. Sometimes we look for great revelation. We cry out to God, we're like, we want the new revelation, we want the new insight. God's like, you're missing the one right in front of you. The one that you heard about ever since you were a kid, every Christmas time, the little nativity scene. Don't miss that revelation. That's the mysterious plan of God. That's the great plan of God, right from the beginning. Straight from the garden. Going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 9. you again. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I love that. That's what God's prepared. Prepared himself. Philippians 2, verse 6 and 8 says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. Another version says he emptied himself. He took the humble position of a slave. Not a servant, a slave. And was born as a human being. When he took up his new form as a man, he literally placed himself in such a way that he was stuck in there. It wasn't like there was a get out clause that if he came in he could like, oh, this is stressing me out, I'm gonna run away. There was only one way that he could get out of that. And that was for his temple to be torn down. That's what he said when he went and he knocked over the things. He said, I tell you, in 3 days this temple will be torn down. And in 3 days it'll be built back up. He's talking about his body. The only way that he could be free from that form was for his body to be torn apart. He was trapped in there. That's why it says he took up the humble position as a slave. He was stuck in there. God of everything was stuck in a human form. I was like, these sort of things, they don't make sense to me fully. Like, why was there only one star? Like, this is marking the King of Kings, like God of all creation. There was just one star. One star. Bear in mind, he made trillions upon trillions upon trillions upon trillions of stars. And he just was like, oh, one will do. Just one. Just a little, just that one there. That'll do. It's like, who is this God that we serve? Just remember who he is. He's magnificent. But he's magnificent in his simplicity. Doesn't need to prove himself. Yeah. I would have had like a landing strip of stars, like shooting stars, everything. It would have been great. A few volcanoes, like. He's like, no, nah, one more thing. That'd be enough. Mystery of the gospel is that right from when he was born, there was already a declaration over his life of what he was here to do, and he was here to die. Right from when he was born. Did you know the first people to see him were shepherds? The wise men, sorry to break down the nativity scene, the wise men actually came when he was like a toddler. It wasn't in the stable, as we all like to see. But the first people to see him when he was actually just born were shepherds. And first off, and I think it's a great point, like, out of anyone you could choose, why would you choose shepherds? Like, it's not like a high position. And I think that's a great point, but actually, I had something in my heart, I was reading it, I was thinking, there's got to be something more to this. I'd done a little bit of research, and I didn't know this. But a little interesting thing, a little bit of background. So in Micah 4, verse 8, it mentions this thing called the Tower of the Flock. And it's in a place called Migdal Eder, which is just on the outskirts of Bethlehem. It's like literally right there. And it's called the Tower of the Flock. And this tower would be the watchtower for specific shepherds. Like, they were Levitical shepherds, like of the priesthood. So they watched over the flock that would bring forth the lambs for the sacrifice for the temple. That was their job. So they didn't just have any old lambs. They had a specific flock in a specific place designated for like lambs that were going to be slaughtered in the temple as a sacrifice. And this was just on the outskirts of Bethlehem. Also, that describes the manger. But actually, if you look at the translation, there's actually several translations of it. And a lot of people now, a lot of scholars are believing now that actually it's not a manger as in like a food trough, but more a stall where they used to keep animals, like where they would literally place animals. So a place where animals would be. And they would literally, especially with these newborn lambs, that were without blemish, like they were set apart without blemish, they would wrap them in swaddling cloths to calm them down. They would do that. That's literally what they would do. And so when these shepherds received the news, it doesn't tell us that the angels told them where he was, just said that this is what's happened. But they knew where to go, because they had a specific place where these lambs would be born and where they would be placed. They knew where to go. That's where they took the ewes when they were giving birth. And what did they find there? They found the Lamb of God, wrapped in swaddling cloths, where the lamb for the sacrifice would be. They knew what that meant. It was relevant to them. What that does is that tells us that right from day one, God had set Jesus aside to be sacrificed for our sins. This was a rescue mission right from the beginning. Right from day one, it was about him coming and dying for us, taking our place. A few things just to start to wrap up, I guess, that we can see about Jesus that I just find amazing. First off, we have a God that understands our suffering. We have a God that understands our suffering because he came and he understands what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like. Secondly, he came himself. He didn't send anyone else. He doesn't run from responsibility. He came himself. Thirdly, what he promised, he came through with what he promised. Like, the Jews were hoping in a Messiah, and God had promised them for years upon years that he would save them, that he would send this Messiah to come and save them. God's a God that keeps his word. He doesn't make things up. He doesn't lie. He keeps his word. He keeps his promises. And you see there, he kept his promise. He came. That's the gospel, isn't it? Yeah. Like, that is the gospel. Like, when we say, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gospel. That's That's what it was always about. That we were sinners. That we were depraved. That we were failures. We might not like to admit it, but we failed. When God set up his standard and said, this is what you've got to meet, we all failed. Every single one of us. And not just a little bit, like catastrophically. We failed. And there was only one person that could bring us back. And not only was there one person that could do it, he wanted to do it. He chose to do it. He didn't have to. Didn't have to do it. He wanted to. And I just want to read this last bit, which I think sums up the gospel so well. It's a bit of scripture, but let's just stay focused in it. And it's John chapter 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. And God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness can never extinguish it. This is Jesus. His life brought light to everyone. This is the hope that we stand for. It's the hope that we believe in. It's the vision for the nations. This is God's mysterious plan. I don't care what anyone else's mysterious plan is, what they're doing behind the scenes. I'm not bothered. I want to be involved in what God's doing. And this is God's mysterious plan, that he came and he was a light to this world, and he commissioned us to be a light to the world, to prepare the way of the Lord. We are called to prepare the way of the Lord because the mystery is not finished. He's on his way back. And there's a broken world that needs us to speak up about this mystery. That God came as a man and died in our place. So we could be set free. So we could be sanctified. That we could be restored to him. That is the whole purpose. That we would be restored in relationship with him. If we're not living in that, then what are we doing? What are we doing? Got to grab hold of that again. Grab hold of what it's all about. Let that mystery take hold of you. The wonderful thing about God's mystery is, although it's been revealed, it will always be a mystery. Only God can do that. Science chases after mysteries, and then once it's discovered, it explains them. Can't explain how God became a man. I can say it, but I don't know. We're never going to be able to understand it. That's the mystery of God. That's the wonder of who he is. Let's get that back in our heart. Let that get back in your heart. The wonder that God would die for his enemies, and we were his enemies. I was his enemy. I was his foe. I wasn't just like a nice guy that he thought, oh yeah, Jay's worth dying for. I was his enemy. And he came and died for me. He came and took my place. God sent the man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed before me. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son himself is himself God and is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." In that scripture, just enough. Just want us to take some time now, just as the worship begins as well, just reflect on this. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you find important or what's been stressing you out. Grab some perspective again. Remember what it's about.